A blessing to be with you all this morning, and a blessing to see the visitors and some extended family here this morning as well. So I hope you feel at home and can worship together this morning. I'd like to start with a children's meeting this morning. So if you would like to join in on the children's meeting, you're welcome to come up here on the first bench or two. Sit over here. There you go. Okay. Well, good to have you all come up here. I have a few questions to start. How many of you like to play in the snow? Pretty much everyone's hand is going up. And it's snowing outside, right? So maybe this afternoon, maybe you can play in the snow. I'm not sure how much it's going. I don't know if it's going to snow much today, but then I saw, I believe, Tuesday, it might snow some more, and maybe you can play some more in the snow. When I was a boy, I'm going to guess maybe between ages 8 and 10, we had a snow day. And I don't recall exactly what day it was, if it was a school day that we had off of school. But after it stopped snowing, my younger sister Jamie and I decided we're going to go out and play in the snow. How many of you like to build snowmen?
Me.
Yeah. We decided we're going to each build a snowman. And you know, to build a snowman, you need wet snow, right? So the snow packs. You can pack the snow into a ball and then roll the ball, and you know, you get your, at least how I built snowman, we usually use three balls. You put your big one on the bottom, medium-sized one second, and then the smallest one on top. So we worked together, we worked individually actually at our snowman. And when we got our snowman completed, our mother must have been watching us some, because she came out with the camera to take a picture of us with the snowman that we had built. And I must have been pretty proud of my snowman, because when Mom said she wants a picture of my sister and I together with our snowman, I wasn't okay with that. Because I looked at my sister's snowman, and I looked at mine, and mine just looked better than hers. Hers wasn't formed very nice, at least I didn't think so. And I told my mom, no, I want a picture just by myself with my snowman. It's going to, I don't know exactly what I said, but I felt like it's going to ruin the picture, you know, if my sister's snowman is in the picture. I have a question. Was I being kind? Do you agree I was being unkind? I was not being kind to my sister. And maybe the reason I remember that story as much, because today, we have a book at home of me growing up as a child, and that picture's in there. And I don't have a very big smile on my face. When I see that picture, I remember the attitude that I had when my mom took that picture. And I think back at that, and I'm not proud of that. It makes me sad to see how I responded to my sister, because I'm sure it didn't make her feel very good. So this morning, if you remember, I've been preaching through the fruits of the Spirit. This morning I want to talk about kindness and being kind to each other. Can anyone tell me what Ephesians 4:32 says? Adelie.
And being kind one to another.
Good job. And there's a song about that too, right? That helps us remember that. Be kind one to another, be kind. So does God want us to be kind?
Yeah.
Yes. Is it hard sometimes to be kind? I think sometimes it's most hard to be kind to those that are closest to us, like brothers and sisters. Now I want to tell you a very short story about kindness as well. When I was, again, I don't remember exactly how old I was, maybe 10 years old, my family went to another church, and we didn't go to many other churches that often. But I remember this church had Sunday school, and actually, there's some people here from Blue Ball this morning. That was the church it was, where my uncle and aunt go and some family. They dismissed for Sunday school, and me being a stranger at this church, I didn't know other people. What I remember about that church, there was another boy about my age that came up to me. And Ken, I don't recall it was you, but I just thought of that now. Someone came up to me and asked me how old I was and directed me to the right Sunday school room. And I really appreciated that because I was kind of on my own to try to get to the right class. So this morning, I want us to think about kindness, and I want each of us to think about how we can be kind to others. Because as we heard, the Bible does talk about being kind, and God wants us to show kindness to others. So as you go throughout this day, and as you go throughout this week, and maybe if you play in the snow this week, I want you to remember to be what? Kind. God wants us to be kind, and there's many ways we can show kindness to others. Thank you. You may go back to your parents. Well, as you've heard, we will continue our study through the fruits of the Spirit, and we're ready for fruit number 5. The title that I gave the message this morning is Bearing the Fruit of Kindness. So, if you have the King James Version, which I believe most of you would, you will find the 5th fruit of the Spirit. The King James says, gentleness. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. As I was preparing for this message, my mind initially went a rather different direction as I thought about gentleness. But if you continue looking at the fruits of the Spirit, I realize some of them are pretty closely connected with each other. So the word gentleness here, goodness, and then verse 23 says meekness. So, as I studied that, so if you look in several other versions, such as the New King James Version, the ESV, instead of the word gentleness here, they have the word kindness. And then down where the King James has the word meekness, they have the word gentleness. So I realize some of these are fairly closely connected, but I'd like to look at the word kindness this morning, thinking about how gentleness here is often translated. So, the word kindness appears, I believe, 48 times in the King James Version of the Bible. And in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for kindness is hesed, if I'm saying that correctly. And that word is often translated mercy, while some verses would use the word kindness or loving kindness, thinking about God's mercy, God's loving kindness towards His creation or towards mankind, and the God being a kind God. And then the Greek words, there's, I believe, 3 different translations of the word kindness, and it speaks of goodness, gentleness, as is used here in Galatians, and also, goodness, kindness, gentleness, those 3 ways. So, thinking about that word kindness, I'd like to look at 4 main points this morning. I'd like to first look at examples of kindness in Scripture. Secondly, I would like to look at the seedbed for kindness, thinking about how kindness is produced. Thirdly, I would like to look at the cost of kindness. And then fourthly, the effect of kindness. So if you study that word kindness, the Bible, both in Old Testament and New Testament, always speaks as kindness in a very positive way or in a positive light. The story is told of 2 missionaries who moved to the East Indies, and they were finding it very difficult to learn the native language, as I can imagine it would be. But they were able to communicate the universal language, the language of kindness. They said, "The natives do not understand our theology, but they understand our kindness and let themselves be won by it." You may have heard that a smile is the universal language, but a smile is a form of kindness. And even though they found it very difficult, these missionaries to India, or to the East Indies, found it very difficult to learn the language, they could communicate effectively by being kind to them. So this morning, I want us to bear the fruit of kindness because being kind is a universal language. And for those of you who live in town, and those of you who are involved in ministry in town, this town is becoming more and more diverse in different cultures, in different languages. But we can still show kindness, even though we may not be able to communicate with everyone. So moving to the first point, examples of kindness. Now we could spend the entire message looking at examples of kindness throughout Scripture. But for the sake of time, I just wrote several down in my notes that I'm just going to basically highlight a little bit and we'll keep moving on. So the first one, thinking about examples of kindness that I wrote down was Rahab. And I'm sure there's examples of kindness prior to this. You could look at a number of different ones. I don't have these necessarily in a chronological order. But Rahab showed kindness to the spies when they spied out the land. She hid them in her house, and as a result, she was blessed for her kindness. In fact, her and her family was spared. The second one, the kindness of David. So you could look at various accounts of David's life and him showing kindness to others. He showed kindness to Saul when he found Saul sleeping in a cave. David could have taken his life. I talked about that some time ago. But he showed kindness. David also showed kindness to Jonathan, his best friend Jonathan. His son Jonathan had a crippled son named Mephibosheth. And after Jonathan was killed, David, seeing that his son Jonathan's son Mephibosheth, difficult word for me to pronounce, he saw it, that he was cared for well, and he provided for him. David showed kindness. Another example is Joseph. After Joseph's father died, Joseph could have got revenge on his brothers. But Joseph had already forgiven them, and Joseph chose to be kind to his brothers. The kindness of Ruth and Naomi. You know, when Ruth's husband died, she was faced with a hard decision what she was going to do. As Naomi was going to go back to her homeland, Ruth said, or came to the place where she said, "Your God will be my God." And I don't actually have the verse noted here. But she chose to stay with Naomi and care for her and to show kindness to her. The kindness of Boaz. So often, when people are kind to others, others respect them and show them kindness in return. Not always the case, but many times that's what happens. They reap the benefits of being kind. And Ruth, as she followed Naomi to her homeland, she was blessed by Boaz and him showing kindness to her. Boaz was very generous to Ruth and showed great kindness towards her. Another example, you could look at the life of Jesus and the many times where Jesus was kind to the people that he was around. When he had compassion to the people, he cared for the lame and the sick. Jesus was kind and forgiving even towards his enemies. You look at the kindness of the Good Samaritan. And for the next point, I'd like to look at that account, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Last but not least, maybe most importantly, is the kindness of God. So if you're, I don't know if you have your Bible open to Galatians 5, but I'd like to read some verses from Ephesians chapter 2. So Paul writes Galatians 5, talks about the fruits of the Spirit, writes Galatians chapter 6, and he moves on to, well, in the Bible we have Ephesians as the next book. And Ephesians chapter 2, I would like to read the first 7 verses. As we think about the word kindness this morning, I want us to think about God's kindness towards mankind, or God's kindness towards us. So you can turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. I'll start reading here at verse 1. So Ephesians 2 verse 1 says this, "And you hath he quickened," or that word quickened is made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind,
and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. So this is speaking of God's love, God's kindness, his mercy. And then verse 5, it says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive together with Christ, by grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. And I'll stop reading there. Did you catch that word kindness in verse 7? His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. So God, when he created mankind, God foreknew what mankind was going to do. He knew they were going to turn his back on him. But yet God continued to love his people. God continued to provide a way for salvation. In the Old Testament, his love or his kindness was offered through the animal sacrifices. People could be, their sins could be atoned for by the sacrifice of these animals because of God's kindness towards his creation. And then Paul says here, I don't know exactly what Paul was thinking as he wrote verse 7, but there's something about, I believe, in this life that we don't fully understand God's mercy towards us or his kindness to us. Because Paul said here in verse 7 that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. So while we understand God is kind, we understand God is merciful, the way I understand this verse is we can't fully comprehend God's great kindness towards us, or his mercy towards us. Maybe we'll better understand that when we get to glory. And as Dale said, it was when we receive the crown that he gives us to us, our eyes might be more open to God's kindness to us. So those are some examples in Scripture of kindness. I'd like to spend a little bit more time as we look at the other points here in the message. I'd like to look now at the seedbed for kindness. So, I'm sure we all appreciate when people are kind to us. And I realize I'm talking to many kind people this morning. Many people who do kind deeds for others. But I believe to operate out of a life of kindness, to show kindness God's way, our heart must be in the right place. Because we can do kind deeds for self-benefit, for hidden motives sometimes, but that's not the kindness that God offers to, or that God showed us. And the kindness that God wants us to have, I believe, should come from kindness just from our heart, should flow out of us. Now, sometimes that's difficult. Maybe sometimes it doesn't flow out, but it can be worked out as we prepare, have a right heart. So thinking about a seedbed for kindness, my mind went to when we plant seeds. And as I think about this being a fruit of the Spirit, something that is produced in the Christian life, as we look at the fruits of the Spirit, I don't think we'll ever get to a place where we have every fruit mastered. I believe the oldest person here should continue to strive to be producing these fruits. The youngest to the oldest. It's an ongoing thing for us as Christians. And thinking about that seed, I know we're not in the time of the year where we plant seeds, well, unless you're planting a fall crop maybe. But this seed, if you want to reap the benefits, you want to plant that seed in a good seed bed, in soil that has the nutrition that it needs for that seed to grow. And our hearts, to operate out of the kindness that God wants us to, we need to have the proper seed bed, or our heart must be in the right place. And we can look at the life of Jesus and how he showed much kindness. I mentioned him briefly as an example that we can look at. There were many times you can read Jesus about Jesus' ministry. As he was ministering to the people, his eyes would see the needs around him. And many times, or various times, it says Jesus was moved with compassion. He did something about it because he felt for the people. And someone has said, kindness is compassion in action. So we can have compassion, we can care about what people are going through, but when we show kindness, I believe that's taking the next step. That's actually doing something about it. So compassion could simply be the feeling we have towards another in a need, a sympathetic or empathetic thought or feeling, but kindness is that feeling put into action. And going back to the children's meeting and talking about kindness, there is something, when we think about this seedbed for kindness, I believe something that's very crucial for everyone to operate out of a love-based kindness. You know, the fruits of the Spirit. The first one is love. And then Paul goes on there to give the list. So if we have love in our hearts, I believe we can show kindness. If we are patient with others, I believe that helps us show kindness. And thinking about compassion or kindness or compassion in action, showing kindness, I believe a very important step here in Galatians 5, after Paul gave the list of the fruits of the Spirit, he says this in verse 24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." In order for us to live a life of kindness or to bear the fruit of kindness, I believe one of the most critical parts is to crucify the flesh or to put my will to death. Or maybe another way would be saying it in Romans 12. It says this in verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." A verse that's probably familiar to every one of us. When you think about an animal sacrifice, the animal dies and the sacrifice is offered and it's done. A living sacrifice is a continual sacrifice or a continual putting self to death. If I would have cared more about my sister and the snowman that she built, I look back at that picture and I think it's a very cute snowman now with her age and what she made. I wasn't showing much compassion or kindness or grace. I was concerned about self. Self was not on the cross. And to think about a living sacrifice, in order to operate out of a proper seedbed for kindness, we need to live in a state of continual putting self to put self on the altar, to die to self and to care about others. We need to dethrone self if we want to have a proper seedbed for kindness. And we need to, like I mentioned, that first word of the Spirit is love. And I believe most importantly, if we don't operate out of a love for others, we're going to fail at being kind. We need to love others, be willing to put self to death, and to care about what others are going through and care about the needs that others have around us. A proper seedbed for kindness to flow out of, there must also be a forgiving spirit. If we're harboring unforgiveness towards others, it's going to be very hard to show kindness to them or to extend grace to them. So we need to dethrone self and we need to operate out of a forgiving spirit. And then last week, we heard an excellent message from Zach, talking about not being critical or judging others. And he used that powerful example of the time when he had all those prickers in his back. Everyone here probably remembers that story he shared. And about gently going in with that tweezers and then pulling out those prickers one by one. And we need to be careful. When I think about being kind towards others, it doesn't mean that we just overlook something that needs to be addressed. But someone that's kind goes about it carefully when something does need addressed. And they go in there with tweezers to help and not to harm or to judge or to put down. They do it out of love for them, out of compassion for them. So a proper seedbed for kindness to flow out of is very important. We must have a non-judgmental attitude. And thinking again about kindness being a universal language. We can show kindness wherever we go, no matter who we meet. Maybe we can't show a lot of kindness to everybody, but a smile, even a friendly, warm smile, is a small part of showing kindness. Thirdly here, I would like to look at the cost of kindness. You can turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, I'd like to read the parable of the Good Samaritan that Jesus gave. And I'll read verses 25 through 37 and just draw a few things from these verses. Thinking about the cost of kindness. Luke 10:25 says this, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said unto them, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answering said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came, looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?' And he answered, 'He that showed mercy on him.' Then Jesus said unto him, 'Go and do thou likewise.'" So this is a powerful parable that Jesus gave, and obviously a very familiar parable to us. But as we think about the cost of kindness, sometimes I believe every one of us will have opportunities to show kindness at an inconvenient time. I don't know exactly what the priest and what the Levite had planned that day, but most of you, including myself, probably go about our days with some sort of agenda, or maybe a to-do list, something that we want to somewhat, you know, check off at the end of the day as done. But as that priest, or first the Levite, as he saw the man wounded there, laying there in need, it says he saw him and passed by on the other side. And then the priest, I think it says, he saw him and he looked. I wonder if he spent maybe a little more time contemplating, and maybe thought of all the things he needs to get done as he maybe went on his way to the temple. And he left the man there. He had, I'm putting it in my own words, but maybe his plans for the day seemed more important. And then the Samaritan comes along, and I have it highlighted in my Bible. I hide the words, saw him, and had compassion on him. I'm guessing the Samaritan was headed to a certain place to do certain things. I doubt he was out there just walking, just had nothing to do that day. But he saw him, he had compassion on him, and I'd like to think that this man in the ditch trumped everything else that he had on his list that day. And he saw the need right here, and he took time, took of his own resources to bandage him, put him on his donkey, and took him to the inn. And then gave him money, gave the innkeeper money to take care of him, and said, or it says on the morrow, so his whole day, I believe, was spent caring for this wounded man. I know it's a parable, but I believe Jesus worded it that way for a reason. He not wasted a day, right? He did something very important that day. But by his maybe agenda, it seemed like a wasted day. But he cared for him, and then was even willing to pay more, whatever it cost, for this man. That's convicting to me as I look at that parable and think about how far the Good Samaritan went. So, the cost of kindness. Showing kindness Now, I realize there's lots of different levels of kindness if you put them in levels, such as, I'm going to put something very simple, a smile. It doesn't really take time to smile, or very little, but it's a friendly way of being, or it's a nice way to be kind. But there's various things we can do to show kindness to others. Maybe it's someone we see along the road that needs help, and we have a place to go, maybe a certain time that we need to meet, but maybe that person along the road should trump the deadline that we need to meet that day. It takes wisdom in some of those areas. I don't want to put anyone on a guilt trip, but there's times we need to be willing to sacrifice time. There's times that we need to be sacrifice finances for the sake of helping others, having compassion on others, and showing kindness. I believe you could say the Good Samaritan went, so Jesus talked about going the second mile. I wonder if the Good Samaritan didn't go the second mile, maybe even the third mile, with offering to come back and even pay more to help this man. So showing kindness does cost something. It costs time, it costs finances at times, depending on what the kind deed is that you are doing. And I realize, again, I mentioned I'm speaking to kind people here this morning. I know many of you have been very kind and gracious towards others with both time and money, and I bless you for that. But I want to encourage us as well to take those opportunities. I'm talking to myself as well as I think about showing kindness. And thinking about the cost of kindness, to some people, kindness costs them their life. I thought of Jim Elliot as I was preparing for this message. It's a story that most of you probably are aware of, how Jim Elliot and I believe four other men were trying to reach a people group in Ecuador, and they were trying to get their way into this village. And they were very creative in how they go about this, because this was a very unreached people group. And they were dropping gifts from, I believe, letting gifts down from the airplane as gifts of kindness. And when they thought it was maybe an okay time to make contact with the people, five men were killed, could you say, from showing kindness. Jim Elliot and I believe four other men. And you could look at that as just a real tragedy that happened. And it was. It was tragic. Their lives were taken for the kindness that they showed. But, and I'll get to that, come back to that story here soon. Thinking about kindness and the cost. Now, I hope and pray that none of us are killed by showing kindness, but kindness, in a sense, has cost some people their life. You could look at the example of Jesus and say, well, really, it was his kindness that got him killed, his love for mankind. But Jesus tells us to be like the Good Samaritan. To go and do thou likewise. That was Jesus' answer to this lawyer that came questioning him. Go and do thou likewise. And I believe that command still stands for us today. But it does come with a cost at times. Now, quickly, I'd like to look at the fourth one, the effect of kindness. So, I mentioned a few examples in Scripture of people who showed kindness. I'm just going to go through them very quickly. So Rahab, I mentioned it earlier, her family was spared because of her kindness that she showed. Now we should not do good deeds of kindness for our own benefit, but sometimes we are blessed because of our own kindness. We're blessed in return. I believe whether we're blessed here physically, I believe there is some type of reward or crown awaiting for all those who show kindness out of from a right heart, from a good seedbed. And Joseph, because of his kindness, his relationship he could have a good relationship with his brothers, Ruth and Naomi. So Ruth's kindness that she showed to Naomi led to her future husband. And if you continue looking at like the kindness that Boaz showed, so it was through that lineage that Jesus was born. Look at how God worked through that. And looking at the effects of kindness, how Jesus reached many people because of his kindness. The Good Samaritan, they're thinking about the effects of kindness. Well, that man that was lay there for dead was able to be healed physically because of the kindness that the Good Samaritan showed. Now, back to that story of Jim Elliot. We can look at that. That first part of the story seems like a complete failure. And yet, most of you are probably familiar with the story. Jim Elliot's wife, along with others, continued to try to reach the same people group that killed her husband and killed the other husbands of those the ladies' husbands. They continued to show kindness, continued to show, I don't know, some of you will know the story better than I do. But they were able to eventually make their way into that land and to extend forgiveness to even the very people that killed their husbands. As a result, many people there came to a saving faith in Christ. And I believe, result of their kindness, that God's kingdom was greatly multiplied. Is it possible, thinking about the effects of kindness, that the people that you rub shoulders with, that God's kingdom can be expanded, or that God's kingdom can grow because of the kindness that you are showing to those around you? That's amazing to think about. It's exciting to think about. You know, what even some small gestures of kindness can do. The Bible says something along the lines of, whoever gives a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord will not lose their reward. They can be small things. They can be bigger things. Someone has observed that kindness has converted more sinners than zeal, eloquence, or learning. So it doesn't take a very educated person to show kindness. Thinking about kindness has converted more sinners than zeal, eloquence, or learning. And a quote, I believe that's, that Theodore Roosevelt is credited for saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Thinking about being kind. So I believe when kindness comes from a proper seedbed, when it comes out of a love for others, that it is then that it can make an eternal difference. Now, it's not just Christians who can show some acts of kindness. There's many people in the world that show kindness, especially if they receive kindness, that they'll extend kindness in return. That's fairly easy to do. But when we operate out of a proper seedbed, a love for others, when we're moved with compassion towards others, I believe that is when it can make an eternal difference. So, I want us to consider in closing here how we can show kindness as we go throughout this week. I believe as I look at the fruits of the Spirit, whether it's love, whether it's being patient, showing long-suffering, I believe sometimes those we work the closest with can sometimes be the most difficult to maybe show love or to be patient with or to show kindness with. But as we go throughout this week, I want us all to think about our own life, the people that we are close to, the relationships that we have, how might God want us to show kindness? So children, I'm going to start with you. I just noted a few things down. I want you to learn from the story I shared with you about how I was not very kind to my sister. I want you to think about others this week. So if you're playing with your siblings out in the snow, or if you're playing with your siblings in your house, and maybe you are fighting over something, I want you to think about, am I concerned about myself, or do I care about them? And I want you to think about others and show kindness to your siblings. I want you to think about how you can show kindness to your friends. And part of being kind is being careful how we use our tongue, right? We need to be very careful the words that we speak. Then this isn't just to children, but it can be adults as well. We need to use our tongue in a kind way, to use kind words. So children, show kindness to your parents, show kindness to your teachers. And for adults, I want us to think about how we can show kindness to the others that are to the ones that we are rubbing shoulders with. And for those of you who are married, show kindness to your spouse, to your children. Think of ways to be kind to your children, co-workers, neighbors, and even strangers. This week, you may have an opportunity to show kindness to a stranger. This can look like many different things. I know I've heard of people doing this. I've never done it myself. But some people, when they pull up to a gas tank, they will show kindness to a random stranger and fill their tank with gas. I've never had someone do that to me. I never did that to someone, at least not yet. But that's something that costs something. But I believe when you do that, and those of you who have done it can maybe tell stories of that, it's going to touch someone. And it may even give you an opportunity to share your faith with them and to tell you the why that you are doing it. There is many different ways we can be creative in being kind. So in conclusion, I have a verse from Proverbs here I'd like to share. Proverbs 19:22 says this, "The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar." So thinking about desiring kindness, we all desire or want others to be kind to ourselves or to kind to us, but I want us to think about how we can show kindness to others. So I want us to bear the fruit of kindness because kindness is a universal language and you can show kindness to even a stranger, you can show kindness to someone that you can't communicate with, someone who speaks a different language. It is a universal language. And I'll just close with a quote that Jim Elliot has said. "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And I mentioned Jim Elliot giving his life from being kind in a sense. But Jim Elliot, I believe, is reaping that everlasting crown or has received that everlasting crown as a result of his faithfulness and showing kindness, if you will. So God bless you as you seek to show kindness as you go throughout this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a kind God, that you care for us. Thank you for your plan of salvation, how you are merciful. Even while we were yet sinners, you sent your Son Jesus to die for us. And I pray that in return, we can be channels of your kindness and that we can extend kindness to those that we rub shoulders with. Help us to be creative this week as we seek to be kind to others, to bless others, and I pray that it can make an eternal difference in your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.